Covered?
Yes, I'm doing fine, thank you. I noticed that you did get my my message, although I got a bounce from iCount. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that, but something weird happened yesterday morning. I didn't receive several emails. I did receive them in the evening, though, so I think I got them. I mean, I guess the bounce was to the message you sent me with the update, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so I received that in the end, but I don't know what happened. But I didn't receive several emails yesterday morning, so I don't really know what happened. Did someone else join? So we got, it's just Christina and Ron on the call? Okay.
No, we have Paulos as well. And
oh, hello, Paulos.
And Los Camarena.
Has Mohammed
and Rudy is on.
Yes, I'm Rudy, yeah.
Yeah. Christina, may I just ask to check if you received on the 4th of September a mail from me, which was CC to the council list?
Hello, this is Bart.
Hi, this is Jen.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi, Bart. Rudy here.
Hi, Rudy. I've seen
good morning,
an email
Bart.
From you. Hello.
Hello.
This is Ron.
Rudy, I've received your email and still have to respond to it.
Okay, fine.
And Ron, yours as well, and that's on my to-do list for today.
You mean you have some spare time today, Bart?
Yes, I do. I'm in...
Wow!
Yes.
I thought you must be working 24 hours a day.
No, no. Say, when I sent you an email, I was in MDR. That's why you received that offline.
Ah. So you're traveling 24 hours a day?
Yeah. How are you doing,
Are you back in Holland now?
No, I'm in Geneva.
Oh, my goodness. I'm doing fine, thank you. I am. I'm well.
Okay.
So can I just go through who's there? It's Paulos, Rudy, Ron, Jan, Bart, Christina. Anyone else?
Oscar Moreno.
Oscar, oh, just Oscar Moreno, okay.
And Chris is dialing in, so...
Good morning, this is Oscar.
Hi, Oscar.
Hi, Oscar.
Good morning.
You want to use mine? Yeah. Or you should use a toll number. No, it won't. Oh, it's strange.
Hello.
This is Steve Crocker.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining.
Hey.
Hi, Leslie joining.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Bart.
We're waiting for Chris. He is trying to dial in. I'm sitting next to him, but he's got one of those lovely iPhones, which doesn't seem to work.
Is there a jabber room for this call?
Sorry, Steve?
Is there a jabber room associated with this call?
No, no, there isn't.
Okay.
So just
hi, everyone. This is Peter joining.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Here.
Hi, Yamam.
Hi, this is Chris, and my iPhone works fine, thank you.
I'm going to sit on the other side and have too much
time. I'm going to sit on the other side of the table, but yes, otherwise I can hear you three times.
Okay. Nina Z to the future.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Hiro.
Hi Hiro, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Hi,
I'm Chris.
Hello everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
He's Andre.
Hi Andre.
Hi Andre.
Hello, who just joined?
Hi, it's Dottie.
Hi, Dottie. Who else joined?
Patricio.
Hello, Patricio.
Hello.
Dottie.
Hello.
Do a roll call, Gabby.
Sure. I've got Paulos, Rudy, Ron, Jan, Arch, Christina, Oscar Moreno, Oscar Robles, Steve Crocker, Leslie, Peter, Youngham, Chris, Hiro, Andre, Duffy, and Patricio.
Have we missed anybody?
Yes, you, Honey, for instance. And Mohammed El Bashir, who was going to be dialed out to, and Vika. And I think that's it. No, Byron.
Ah, yes. Give it another minute or so, and then we'll start. Just got a text from you to tell you you've arrived in Geneva Bar. Very cool. Wonders of modern technology. We're getting a fair bit of background noise. If there's anybody in a surrounded by noise, if you could mute your phone, that would be helpful.
Sounds like everybody went away.
Yes, they did. Just you and me, Dottie.
It may be true.
Doubt it. Well, Gabby, we might as well start. Did you just join?
Byron.
Hey, oh, hi, Antonio.
Byron.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry, was there someone else apart from Byron?
Yes, Antonio.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so if we should probably start. If it's all right with everybody, just before we formally start, Steve Crocker is very kindly. Joined the call to talk about wildcards, and Steve, I understand, has to go off to another conference call shortly, so I'm going to switch the items around on the agenda so that we deal with wildcards following the confirmation approval of minutes and actions.
Thank you very much, Chris.
No problem. Hi, who's there?
It's Mohammed here. How are you?
Hi, Mohammed. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're just starting. So the first item on the agenda is confirmation of approval of the minutes, which is just a formal confirmation unless anybody has anything they want to say. Okay, and actions from the last call on the 24th of August. Gabby, is there anything that we need to go through on the actions list, please?
Just a second. I think the only action that I can see that hasn't been done yet. Well, actually, I don't know. I'm not sure about all of them. Have you contacted Kieran McCarthy? That was action 4303 to find out.
Yeah, that's about notice board, is it?
So that's done.
Well, I have contacted him, but I haven't got anything to report. I'm still waiting to hear back from him.
Okay, I understand. And then there was an action about Becky Burr to send a note to the Secretariat and Chair about the review and registrar issues for further distribution.
Becky on the call yet?
No, she's not.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll follow that one up afterwards.
Yeah, other than that, I think all have been done.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, let's just move on to wild cards. I'll just by
sorry,
way.
There is one more thing. The chair has sent out a note to the group regarding an update from the GAC liaison.
Sorry, say that again. Sorry, I missed you.
The chair has sent out a note to the group regarding an update from the GAC liaison working group.
That'll be me then.
Yes.
have I done that?
I don't think so.
Probably not. My apologies. I will chase it up. I do know that I have had a conversation with Keith, and I do know that he's organising a meeting in Seoul. But I will chase it up.
Okay.
Okay. So wild cards. Just by way of background. The reason we've got this on the agenda is because hopefully I'll get most of this detail correctly, but correct. But the Security and Stability Advisory Committee has issued a note on wildcards, which in summary says they're bad and shouldn't be allowed. And the board passed a resolution in Sydney, which, among other things, requested the CCNSO to report back to the board at some point with some suggested ways in which we could find a way of making sure that wildcards didn't happen in CCTLDs. Now, this is a complicated issue to some extent because there are a number of CCTLDs, as I understand it, who do wildcard at the top level. I think about 8. And we thought it might be, at least as a starting point, it might be useful if Steve was able to explain to us the reasoning behind the report and what the actual problem is, and then we could perhaps ask some questions so that we can at least get clear what the issues are, and then that will help us to decide what to do next, if anything. So is it right with everybody if we ask Steve to give us some background and information and then we can discuss it?
Sure.
Yep. Okay, Steve, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chris. I was just pulling up the text of the board resolution that was passed in Sydney, and I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read the specific clause that relates to the CCNSO. It's very much along the lines that you said, Chris, although it's slightly stronger, actually, now that I reread this. Resolved, the board requests that the CCNSO provide a report on mechanisms that could be employed to ensure that redirection and synthesis at the top level is effectively prohibited. That's a pretty strong statement. Everybody understands that CCTLDs operate are not subject to direct contractual or formal control by ICANN. And so at the end of the day, and I don't want this to be misunderstood as in any way giving any positive encouragement, but at the end of the day, the decision processes and enforcement are outside of ICANN's control. But that does not in any way change the basic message that's being conveyed here. So that's the present state of affairs. I think the question that you really want me to answer is what's the background here and why is the feeling so strong about this? And for that, really the right point in time is exactly 6 years ago. In fact, my goodness, today's September 15th. Well, it was exactly 6 years ago on September 15th, 2003, that VeriSign released the SiteFinder service, as they called it, in which they put redirection using wildcards into the COM and NET domains. And I don't know how many of you were aware or followed the events of that time, but they were quite dramatic, and the reaction was quite vigorous. There is quite a lot of written documentation in multiple fronts. On the SX side, we held two half-day meetings with many presentations. The transcripts from those meetings are still available online. The presentations are available. And there's a roughly 85-page report that was published middle of the next year. It took us a while to get it out. And, of course, VeriSign was very quick to respond to that and publish their own report trying to rebut things. The short story is that the redirection at the registry level is too broad an action. It changes what the user gets back, no matter what the user was intending to do. The motivation usually is in the case that somebody is trying to reach a website and they type in a wrong domain name. But when this redirection is done by a registry, there's no way to opt out of it, and there's no way to avoid it having the impact of cutting across all protocols, mail and FTP and every sort of other protocol that might be used. The natural comeback is, well, but it's in the protocol. Why is it in there? And if it's a bad thing, why doesn't the IETF take it back? Not an unfair question, but it has a somewhat complex answer. The experience that's been accumulated to date is that wildcards generally are troublesome. In a very local or controlled environment, they can be useful in a very limited way. The kind of environments where it makes sense would be like within an enterprise where you know who the users are and what they're going to be accessing, and it's not a generally publicly available process. In contrast, the criterion that has emerged from the experience is that when the parent zone has an arm's length relationship with the subordinate zones, with the child zones, then the use of the wildcard is a very bad idea. So this applies, obviously, to registries, to top-level domains, but the prescription that I've given, the arm's length relationship between parent and child, could also apply in other environments. But I'm often asked, so how do you make the distinction? And what I've given you is the way that distinction is made. So with that, let me take a breath and see where people want to take this conversation.
Thank you, Steve. I just have a question just for clarity. My understanding is that wildcards, or whether they actually are what you would put in the definition of wildcards, but sending a different response occurs in many different guises, doesn't it? I mean, some browsers do it. So rather than delivering what we would consider to be a sort of bold error 404 message, they actually deliver something else. Is that correct?
Yes, but I think it's very important, and I don't know what the shared technical understanding is among the people on this call, but when a browser gives back a different kind of response, the browser knows that the user has been trying to make a connection to a website. When a registry makes an alternate response, it has no idea whether or not the request for that domain name was due to web lookup or to some other protocol. So it's what we say in the technical community is a protocol layer violation. There is plenty of opportunity for, put it this way, if the registry gives back the required non-existent domain response, NX domain, or an error code that says this domain doesn't exist, just two ways of saying the same thing, then as that error code is passed back up through the protocol stacks, then there's plenty of opportunity if the user environment wants to interpret that in a way that says you've gotten an error response, and rather than just putting out 404 or something like that, I will tell you that you've got a non-existent domain and you can do some other things. But at that point, the software that's dealing with the user has quite a bit more information than the registry has, and also that is configurable under the user's control, whereas when that is done at the registry level, there is no way to opt out. And I'm going to emphasize that. There are some claims by some registries that there are ways to opt out. On close examination, they don't actually provide a sensible way to opt out at all. They're a kind of kludgy workaround that is in some ways makes the problem even worse.
Okay.
This is Byron, just a couple of quick questions.
Yeah.
Is there any distinction between wildcarding and DNS injection?
I missed the last word. DNS what?
Injections, just as another term.
I'm not sure precisely what DNS injection refers to. The term that we've been using is synthesis, and let me explain that a little bit. When a query comes from the user's machine to the registry and asks for a name, and that name doesn't exist, instead of giving back the response that says it doesn't exist, if instead any kind of response comes back that is created for the purpose of redirecting, then that's a synthesized response. One of the ways to synthesize a response is to put an asterisk into the description of the root zone, which is the wildcard, and that's a direction to the resolution software that says give back the following response, following IP address instead of a non-existent domain. But it's also possible to, instead of using that particular mechanism, to have active software that is generating a response on the spot, and so that's the more general case, and that's why we talk about synthesis, not just about wildcards.
Do you have another question, Byron?
Sure. The 8 CCs that are engaged in this, is there a particular common reason? I mean, why are they engaged in it?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if anybody else does.
It's contrary to established good manners, for lack of a better term. No sense of why. The why?
Well, in the case of at least one, it would be at least one of them. It would be possible to claim that it's a traffic redirection or an attempt to redirect traffic. And that's the is that .cm, Steve?
I'm not tracking.
I have a question too, Chris.
Yeah, hold on a second, Paulus. No problem. But I don't think we can. I don't think we can actually answer that question in any real detail. Byron, that's a very good question, which obviously we'll need to get to at some point.
Okay. Thanks,
Paulus.
Yeah, I think it's a follow-up to Byron. Have there been a study to show that they are actually making money out of it?
Well, again, I don't know, because it depends on which ones you're talking about. I don't have enough information to
Chris, this is Leslie. I have a question.
Yes, Leslie.
A more broader question, perhaps, for Steve. The board were bouncing this in the direction of the CCNSO. Did the board have any thought as to what they would want the CCNSO to do with it, whether there's a hope that there might be some sort of global binding policy or maybe a statement of good practice that CCs might sign up to? What was there any thoughts on that?
Well, in truth, the board certainly didn't look at that level of depth, and you know, I'm sure it won't be a surprise to anybody that what the board did was pass a resolution that was written, and they understood what they were doing, but they didn't work it through at the board level. So where did that come from? Well, I have to fess up and say that I had quite a strong hand, and not solely mine, but it came from FSAC and was put forth as a request to the board.
I was aware of the source. I guess what I'm just kind of musing out loud is to the options that the CCNSO has for doing something with this request.
Well, let me switch hats here, since I also wear a board hat. My understanding is that there's a limit to what the board can say and do, that the great value of this sort of unwieldy beast that we have in the form of ICANN is that the SOs have considerable amount of autonomy, and that's a positive thing. So let me turn it around and say, I think the idea has gotten across reasonably well, at least I hope it has. And so rather than ask, is the board directing or telling the CCNSO what to do or how to do it, I think a better question is, what would feel appropriate from your point of view? Where would you like to go with this? It's a sensible request, but it's a request, and that's the end of it, I think. I don't know that there's any compelling force that says you have to do things and you have to do it in a particular way.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Well, that's actually quite an interesting point, Steve, because as I'm sure you know, in respect to IDN CCTLDs, the current state of affairs, as I understand it, is that it's intended that one of the things that an IDN CCTLD manager will be asked to do as part of the application for the IDN CCTLD is to commit, confirm, whatever, that they won't use wildcards at the top level. So that in itself, that's something which we're going to obviously have to deal with and deal with relatively quickly, given that the intention, best intention anyway, is to sign off on some on the IDN CCTLDs in Seoul. So that sits kind of sort of almost separately from what you've just said, because there certainly seems to be an attempt, at least, to I don't want to use words that are inflammatory, but enforce a prohibition on wildcards in the at least in the IDN CCTLD space.
Yes, indeed, that's correct. And here we have a kind of a boundary condition question. In the creation of IDN CCTLDs, do they automatically inherit every single attribute of a CCTLD, or can the treatment be somewhat different? And I think the position that the board has, and I'll speak personally for sure that I have, is that there's a lot of subtle distinctions as we bring IDNs in. Some of them may seem more important to some and less important to others. This whole business of two characters versus not two characters has a whole bunch of subtleties, for example, that don't translate very cleanly to the IDN space. My understanding is that we're going to treat IDN CCTLDs as falling under contractual or some degree of requirements that are not necessarily identical to CCTLDs, what I call classic CCTLDs. I hope I haven't caused any big problems in what I've just said, and I'm obviously not speaking formally on the board, but I am giving you my best understanding of where things are.
Thanks. Thank you. Can I ask what I think is more of a practical question, which is sort of like it's in stages so that I can understand it. The text of a pure error 404 message is delivered by the registry. Is that text actually set by someone?
No, and I'm glad you asked the question. That text is 404 and so forth is actually not a DNS protocol message. That is a HTTP hypertext transfer protocol message at a considerably higher layer. And the browser software, which goes and requests the IP address for a domain name, when it gets back the error code at the DNS level, then translates that into an error code for the user at this 404, and the 404 is generated at that level.
So who's responsible for that text?
Well, that's browser software. That's what's generated at by browsers and by websites.
So I can put any text I like on that, then, can I? Or?
Sure.
So the problem, your problem is not the message that's being delivered; it's the way it's being delivered.
Well, but that message is there's no way for the registry to cause that message to be affected. That's not a registry generated message.
So it is a standard message that is delivered the same all over the world?
Yeah, it's actually a binary code in a encoded deeply in down at the protocol layer. It's not ASCII text or readable or anything like that. It's a flag that's turned on in the answer that says what you've asked for doesn't exist.
So on that basis, then, if I've got I'm just using this as an example, if I've got an IDN CCTLD that operates in Arabic, for example, I have no way of delivering that message in Arabic without wildcarding.
Chris?
Hank?
This is Patricia. I think we're mistaken is if we focus on this 404 message, because as Steve said, it's on quite a different level on the protocol stack. Our task is way down below at the registry level.
Yes, but I understand that, Patricia, and the reason I was asking the question is so I could see an argument to take an Arabic as an example, an Arabic CCTLD saying, well, that's all fine, but what I want to be able to do is have a message delivered that is actually understandable to my customers.
Sure, it depends on the language settings in your browser, probably.
Right. Well, that was what I was asking, I think.
But see, the registry has no idea what language the user is speaking, nor what application the user is using when it asks for a domain name lookup. And trying to deliver a message in Arabic may or may not be the sensible thing.
Well, yes. So I guess what I understand that, Steve. So I guess what I'm asking is, just so that I'm clear, is that the SSAC's view is that any form of interference with that message, wildcard interference with that message, is not acceptable. It's not about the message that's delivered. It's about interfering with it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions that they would like to ask? Or any comments they'd like to make?
Chris, this is Peter.
Yes, Peter.
From those eight CCTLDs, how many are member to CCNSO?
I'd have to search through my list and find out. I can try and do that while we're talking, Peter.
Because it could probably impact the way that we would approach this issue, I guess. Right.
I'll see if I can find it. I do have a note somewhere. I'm just not entirely clear where it is at the moment.
Or how many are engaged in the CCNSO?
Yeah. I think that just to take an example, I think Bill delivers a wildcard message on .nu, although don't hold me to that, but I'm fairly sure that he does. But I will find out and send a note out to everybody to let them know. Anything else? Okay. Steve, is there anything else that you want to say before we move on?
Just two quick things. First of all, let me express thanks and much appreciation that you guys are taking this up seriously. It's quite a positive sign to see that the pieces actually connect up here. And the second is, speaking on behalf of ESSAC, if there's anything that we can do, we'd be happy to do so. One of the things that we're very conscious of in that our role of giving advice is that if we simply sort of offer up some advice and throw it over the wall and then turn our back on it, that may not be the most useful role for us. And to the extent that we can help as you or as others work through the process, we'll be happy to do so. So don't hesitate to ask. We're not trying to be overbearing, and at the same time, we're not trying to distance ourselves when we can be of some positive benefit.
And unless there's anything else, then I think we can take what the information we've got from Steve and start some sort of discussion amongst ourselves on that.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you, Steve. That's great that you were able to make the call. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks. Does anybody want to take this discussion further? We're going to have... But we are going to have a discussion on this in Seoul, are we? Yeah, we are. So if anybody else, we can sort of, I can find out the information that we've been asked by the various people who've asked questions, at least about who does it at the moment, and send that out as soon as I can get hold of it. Anything else from anybody?
I guess just, Chris, this is Byron.
Yes, Byron.
So I definitely don't know the answer to this, but if there is a CC within the community who is behaving poorly, or we would like to see them modify their behavior, what are the options on that front?
Well, the bottom line, Byron, is that we can't do anything, no matter what process we go through, even if we were to go through a policy development process, not that I'm suggesting that we should, but even if we were to, the result of that cannot be and is not binding on individual CCTLDs if they choose to exempt themselves from it for a number of reasons. So it's more about getting clear, I suppose, about us having a position. But fundamentally, we can't stop Australia, for example, from doing it if they eventually choose to do so. But we can certainly, we want to, having gone through whatever process we decide to go through, if we want to, say that we think it's not allowed or shouldn't be allowed, we can. But it's only... it's
moral suasion.
Moral suasion,
moral
peer
suasion.
Group, and peer group pressure at the end of the day.
Okay.
I mean, there are issues that arise in respect to the IDN CCTLDs because there is an intention to treat them differently, but that's something perhaps we can get. The next item on the agenda is the fast track update, so we can include that in there.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else?
Chris, do you recall, is one of the people using wildcards the Philippines?
I honestly, Dottie, I can't remember.
Because the Philippines has been actively soliciting people to join up. And
hold on a second, guys. Mm-hmm. Bart's just passing me a note. We think that Bart has managed to find the notes that I received. This was on the 10th of June from Kim Davies, who said that the following CCs, as far as he is aware, operate wildcards. Now, they are CG. I don't know where CG is.
Congo.
Thank you very much. KR. NU, that's Bill. PH, which I guess is the Philippines. RW.
Rwanda.
Rwanda, thank you. ST. TK, which is that Tokelau? Not sure. DG and WS, which I think is Samoa.
Western Samoa.
Yeah, thanks, Leslie. I don't know where VG is or ST off the top of my head, but those are the current, but those, as I understand it, are the current list.
Well, the prime mover behind that's Philippines. They were on the phone soliciting, and they were calling the small registries, as you can see, well, except for KR, and touting a system that they can provide that gets you lots of money by adding the wild card. So I think they're the one to go for.
Maybe, maybe. Thank you. Thank you.
Craig?
Yes, Palos.
They are listed on the Wikipedia, also under wild cards.
Pardon.
And maybe just to note that the two ones that are in Africa, they are not managed within the country.
Yes.
Yeah, so it would be quite difficult to actually work on these.
Yeah.
Youngham here?
Yes, Youngham.
With regard to KR, I'm sure their motive is not monetary.
I'm sure that's right.
I will.
You'll try and find out for us?
Yes.
Yeah, now this, yeah, Bart's saying to me to note that this is on the 10th of June, so things may have changed since then. It may be that some of those have dropped wildcards following the board's resolution, and it may be that some other ones have been added, but that's the current situation. And Bart is going to send a note to Kim to ask him if he would send us an up-to-date list, so that at least we know what we're dealing with here. Okay, is there anything else on this issue before we move on to the fast track? Okay, good. So the next item is an update on the fast track. This is where we are. The board met last weekend in Los Angeles at a board retreat, and my understanding, although this I haven't had this confirmed yet, is that they signed off effectively on a series of staff documents dealing with the introduction of IDN CCTLDs, with the intention that the formal resolution on the launch, if you like, of them would be dealt with in Seoul. I have seen a version of those documents that I gave some input into, but I haven't seen the latest version, so I don't know what changes, if any, have been made. But in summary, the way that it's going to work, or the proposed way that it will work, is that there will be a series of boxes on the application form that will contain a number of statements that the CCTLD applicant agrees to adhere to, and as an alternative to that, the CCTLD manager or applicant will be able to request to enter into negotiations to sign an accountability framework or a document of responsibilities, or to go through an exchange of letters with ICANN. So the bottom line, bare minimum if you like, is a series of statements on the form that say that they will agree to adhere to the protocols, that they will there is a statement that they won't wildcard, and that's something we'll need to deal with, and a statement that they will agree to what's called cooperatively engage with ICANN in the event of there being a problem. With the exception of the wildcard statement, which may be problematic, I don't think that what is proposed to be said, and I'm hopeful we'll get these documents out as soon as possible for people to have a look at, and I'm chasing that up now, is going to be too much of an issue for most IDN CCTLDs. With respect to money, the very clearly stated that that a contribution is expected but is not mandatory, and that contribution is based on, obviously by agreement, but based on a percentage of revenue from the IDN CCTLD, which generally speaking was the thing that was the methodology that met with the highest level of acceptance from IDN CCTLD managers. The percentage we're talking about is 3%, 2%, and 1%, right? So reducing percentage depending on the number of names under management. But the absolute bottom line, and this is obviously not stated anywhere, but it is my understanding that the absolute bottom line is that if the CCTLD turns up to get an IDN CCTLD and refuses to sign anything and refuses to pay any money, it will still be delegated. But it's a little difficult to get to give you much more information without us having the documents, and I'm hoping that we'll get those out of staff in the next few days. Any questions or comments? Well, that's good then. All right. Well, if no one has anything to say,
Chris?
That, yes.
Chris, it's Peter. Sorry, that last thing that you said, that it will be delegated, even if the incumbent ASCII CCTLD refuses to enter into any agreement. That would obviously take into account the support of the local internet community. Right?
Oh yes, yes, Peter. The current IANA guidelines are a part of it. They have to be dealt with in the normal way, and so there's certainly no intention to change any of those.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else? Okay, good. Well, as I say, hopefully we will be able to have some documents to look at very soon. And hopefully we won't have to spend too much time discussing this in any detail in Seoul, but I guess it depends on what the documents look like by the time we get hold of them. And I suspect that the wildcard scenario may be problematic for some. It's quite difficult in some respects because on the one hand the CC community and the Governmental Advisory Committee have made very clear statements that an IDN CCTLD shouldn't be treated in any way differently to an ASCII CCTLD. But on the other hand, actually, a number of the IDN territories do want the IDN CCTLD to be treated at least slightly differently, because there is general agreement that the two character or two letter restrictions should not apply to IDN CCTLDs. So there's a kind of balancing act there to try and get everything that everybody wants, which may not in the end be possible.
So Chris, can you still describe the fast track as fast?
Yeah. Well, I can describe it as faster.
when are we going to see this in action?
if the board signs off on the resolution in Seoul, that relatively soon thereafter they would open up for applications, and given that a number of TLDs would certainly describe themselves as ready, including China and Russia and various others. I imagine that they would take the first step almost immediately that the process was opened, and that by the end of the first quarter of next year, we could very, very well see the first of our IDN CC TLDs being delegated.
Okay. So was there a decision about money?
Well, as I've said, it's a question of that the way it's being phrased is expected but not mandatory. Practically the way it's, I should imagine, practically the way it's going to work is much the same as it works now. If a CCTLD manager approaches ICANN and says, look, I think it would be a good idea for us to have an accountability framework with you, one of the things that gets talked about in those negotiations is a financial contribution. And in fact, as far as I'm aware, every single one of the TLDs that has signed an accountability framework or an exchange of letters does make a financial contribution, albeit in some cases that financial contribution is very small. So I suspect that that's practically how it's going to work. The key is that the message is that our colleagues who are going to go for an IDN CCTLD clearly understand that the contributions are voluntary and that the requirement to agree to abide by the protocols is really a bare minimum that frankly every one of us should be doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we're done with that, I'll move on to the review of recommendations from the Participation Working Group's final report. Gabby, how did you want to handle this?
The Participation Working Group made a final report in February 2009, and as we discussed this internally, we thought that we should perhaps put it up for a review, what has been done, what hasn't been done. I have listed all the points that are relevant to us in the email that I sent out to the council prior to the call. I don't know, would you like me to go through them, bullet point, or...
Well, I suppose the first question to ask is whether we actually want to go through that now. Do we have a session planned on this in?
No.
Okay.
What I can do is to save some time is just that I can send out a comment to each of the bullet points to the list and just update where we are. We don't need to do it now.
Well, I think it would be useful. I mean, from my point of view, I think that what we've been doing, and I'd be interested in what Leslie thinks given that she chaired the committee, that what we've been doing over the last sort of 6 to 8 months has basically been in accordance with those recommendations and seems to be working quite well. But Leslie, do you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I suspect Gabby will say that most of the Secretariat actions have been done and the CCNSO Council ones haven't fully been done. And the intention of the working group really was to sign off with the report and bounce things back to the council rather than having an ongoing working group. I think there's a bit more to be done in order to say we've done all of those things.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I'm not suggesting that we...
But yes, indeed, there has been considerable progress, particularly on the Secretariat actions.
Does anybody have anything they want to say about what the CCNSO is currently doing in accordance with those recommendations and anything that they've got, you know, they think they'd like to see better or concerns about? Okay. Well, in that case, I do think that one of the keys to things like this, where we do go through a process of actually examining what we should be doing, is to make sure that we follow up on it. And I wonder whether it might be sensible for us to agree that we will run a session on this in Kenya early next year to actually ask the members for input and to assess what we've done so far and what more, if anything, we can do. Is that acceptable to everybody? Or is that not acceptable to anybody, perhaps, is a better way of putting it?
I'd support that, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris, may also suggest that the council will look at its own action items at either the next call or at the face-to-face meeting in Seoul and in order to get this moving, and then indeed revisit it in Nairobi, what the CCTLD members or CCTLD community thinks about participation.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Gabby, would it be possible for you and Bart and Christina to do a note to us in the next sort of 10 days or so that assesses, that lists everything and says where we've got to?
Sure.
Because I think that's really a good place to start, and if we can do that, then we can start looking at it, and it gives everybody an opportunity to say whether they think we are doing it or we're not doing it. But I might think we're doing something incredibly successfully, which everybody else thinks that we're not. So if we can do that, then we could perhaps discuss that on our call just before Sol. Okay? Fantastic. That brings us to the working group updates. And the first one of those is the delegation redelegation working group. Bart, do you want to just give a quick update? You want me to do it? Oh, you're in silent mode. Bart's in silent mode. Excellent. So that means I have to do it then, does it? Okay. Well, we've had our first meeting of the delegation and redelegation working group on a phone call, and we have appointed. Keith Davidson as the chair of the delegation and redelegation working group. That was on the basis that we felt very strongly that it was important that the group was chaired by somebody who'd been around for long enough to know the delicate political balances that exist in respect to delegation and redelegation. It is a very lively working group, even on our first call, which was just about logistics. Not least because we have Eberhard and Nigel on the working group. So the current plan is that Bart and I will spend a little bit of time here in Geneva in conjunction with Keith working on the start of an issues document that will be hopefully presented in Seoul to the members that will basically say, this is what we think are the issues that we need to look at, not that these are the issues that need to be dealt with because they may be fine, but this is what we need to look at. Does anybody have any things that they'd like to add to that list? And then once we've done that, we'll then move forward to start to actually look at those issues. And Bart has prepared a timetable which will see us making a presentation in Nairobi on the work of the working group, working on the issues paper. So, on balance, that's pretty good. We had a good turnout on the phone call. We had some GAC people on the call, not that they said anything, but they were there, and some ALAC people. So that's that one. Any questions? Okay, good. Byron, you're next. Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group update.
Okay, thanks. A few things have happened. First off, we have put out a call for more members. We've seen an expression of interest from four new people, from .de, .nl, .ru, and .np. So I think they will be welcome additions to the group. On next point is that one of the things we wanted to do was get a sense of where people in the CC community were in terms of what they thought about the ICANN strategic plan. So we are in the process of developing a survey that we'll then circulate amongst the CC community to take the temperature of it and get some guidance on what the CC community believes are the key areas of the strat plan to focus on, as well as essentially weighting what the CC community thinks is most important, least important. We have a preliminary survey that's been circulated to the working group, and we've had some good suggestions and feedback on it, so we're just in the process of fine-tuning it and should be able to get it out into the field in the near future. And we will also be holding, a status update and a session in soul. Those are the key highlights of things that are going on right now.
Thanks, Byron. Are there any questions for Byron? Okay. Thank you, Byron. The next one is CCNS.
Chris,
sorry,
I have a question. These volunteers to the working group, are they going to be decided by the council or approved by the council, or is that up to the working group?
What is the typical protocol for that?
I think we have to approve them, don't we? Yeah. So is there a date for the close of the call?
I think it has closed, Christina, you will know.
Okay. Can you send out, well, Gabby, if you wouldn't mind then just sending out a note saying, you know, the call is closed and these are the people who've nominated, and then we can just approve it on the list.
That was on the agenda, Chris.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Where?
List of volunteers.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Leslie. I must be looking at a different agenda.
In that case...
It's in the notes that I sent Thursday.
Ah, okay, fine. Well, in that case, then, Byron, if you could just remind us again who's actually volunteered.
.de.
That's so, Sabina.
Yeah. Roloff, .nl.
Yeah.
And... .ru, Leonid? That,
okay. Yeah.
And .np. And I don't actually know the last two folks yet.
NP is Nepal, isn't it?
Nepal, yes.
Okay, cool. Well, in that case, we can, I guess, unless anyone has any problem, we can sort of pass a resolution approving that they join the working group. So unless there's any objection to that, Gabby, if you could, in the minutes, just put a resolution saying that we approve those nominees.
Sure. Another question. If we do this resolution, do we need someone to nominate, to propose?
Byron, you'll be able to do that, won't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to second it, Gabby?
Byron proposes, and who seconds?
I'll second.
Leslie does that. Excellent. Thank you. Marvellous. Does anyone object? Good. Passed. That moves us on to the CCNSO GAC Liaison Working Group. Now, I just want to say part of the issue here with this working group is the GAC, and no offence intended to the GAC, but actually Yanis is really struggling to get GAC people to... agree to be on this working group. This is not something that is unique to this particular working group. It's just a general issue. We've got a lot of background noise. Whoever's making that could mute. Thank you. Keith and Yanis are working very hard to try and get this working group up to size. It's up to size from our side of things, I believe. The idea was that we had more than five people so that we actually had alternates in the event that certain people hadn't come to meetings. So I am hopeful that we'll see some progress there, but it is proving quite difficult to get the GAC to move. And it's also proving quite difficult to get the GAC to set aside time for joint meetings, although I suspect that once the IDN CCTLD issue is fast track is launched, then that will free up some time for us to start talking to the GAC about other things. Any questions on that? Okay, good. Technical working group, a draft of the charter has been produced. Bart, do you want to deal with that?
Yes, the Eberhard is working with a small group of people on the new charter. He sent out a second draft for comments from the working group. They will have a preliminary meeting at the Seoul meeting, and hopefully by Seoul, will be presented to the new charter will be presented to the council for adoption. And based on that new charter, new members will be called for, new volunteers, and that's about it. And he's organizing a session on Monday again.
Thanks, Bart. Any questions on that? Excellent. Meeting program working group, Andre.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, good, because I think I was the one who made the background noise, so I switched, I moved my phone. Well, there is no much to say about the program working group since we sent a program draft on August 24th and we didn't have a meeting since that time. So we have a meeting on September 29th. We are just working in the mailing list, finalizing the agenda. I don't think there will be some major changes, so there's really no much to report on.
Okay, Andre, thank you for that. We've seen that draft agenda, haven't we?
Yeah. It was discussed on the last conference call, I guess.
There has been a slight update to it, which I sent out with all the papers on Thursday. I had to add a wild card session, for instance.
Yeah.
And there have been small changes, but not.
Could I just ask a general question on the agenda? I see we've got the ICANN board update, as is traditional. But I thought in one of our discussions about that element of the agenda, we suggested that we should think more carefully as to how we get the best value from that session. For example, thinking beforehand about the areas that we are most interested in hearing from the CEO on. I think that was Patricio's suggestion, so not wishing to claim credit for it. It's something that we've discussed before.
I think it was suggested that there was a small commission to be created to think of
this. Sorry, we've still got a huge amount of background noise. I guess it may be Andre. Okay, sorry, Gabby, what were you saying?
I think the suggestion was that a small committee is created to develop some questions.
Okay, well, why don't we do that? Gabby, do you want to, I think that's an excellent idea, and I think, especially given that we have a new CEO who isn't perhaps as experienced at dealing with the session, it would be useful to do that. Gabby, do you want to send a note round and we can just put a small group together?
Yeah, do that. I guess this note is for the councillors, or is that for the whole entire CNSO?
No, it's for the council.
Yeah.
And just for you to adjust the agenda, Gabby, my understanding is that Paul probably won't be in Seoul, so that ICANN board update will be Rod and Peter.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie and Patricio, for originally suggesting that. And I think it would be an excellent idea if we at least were able, you know, a week or so before the meeting to send a note out saying, you know, we have this session. Here's the heads up on some of the things that we'd like to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is the joint CCG-IDN working group. This was This working group was a result of a joint meeting between the GNSO and the CCNSO in Sydney where it was suggested that there are a number of issues in respect to IDNs from a full-blown policy point of view that are mutual to both the Cs and the Gs, and that therefore it would probably be sensible for us to have a joint working group to try and figure out what those issues are and to discuss them. So nothing really to do with the fast track as such, but more to do with the ongoing policy development process. And that group has actually been set up, but at the moment I think it awaits us to put volunteers on, doesn't it? So we need to make a call for 5 volunteers for that
which
week.
Which has been done.
Which has been done, right. So we're waiting for that response to that. But
and everyone's... We had responses.
Yeah.
And it's in principle it's one from every region.
Yes.
And given that the CCN or the GNSO has 5 members, we need to appoint 5 members as well. Maybe the others could serve as observers. That's what we need to check, but probably we can. So it's up to the council who to appoint. The Let me go over the list of volunteers. It's Eric from Black TLD as an observer, Fyde from Jordan, Chamara Disney.lk, Andrei Kuleshnikov from .ru, Anchuan Lee from Singapore, Yu Yulang from Malaysia, Doran Shikmoni from Israel, and Jiang Shan from
China.
From China. So, yeah, I don't know how you want to take it. We have, say, we got one from, yeah, depends a bit how you want to qualify Israel.
But can I suggest, Bart, that what we do is that I don't particularly want to make a decision right now. Apart from anything else, as you say, it depends on how you qualify Israel, and also need to make sure that we've got enough people who are prepared to do the work on the list. So can we perhaps take this off the list and actually send a note out to the council in the next few days with details of who all these people are and make a formal proposal that they be appointed to the working group? It's fairly important, it's political, and we need to make sure that we get the right people.
Yep.
I was just going to say, Israel is, according to the ICANN regions, which I think we should follow, is AP, according to the ICANN regions.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So you've got Israel, and you've also got, did you say Sri Lanka, Bart? And you've got, and there's a lot of AP region people in there.
Yeah.
So I think we need to actually sort through it and maybe co-opt a few people from other regions in order to make sure that we have a proper regional spread. Not that I'm objecting to anybody. I just want to make sure that we get a regional spread. And as long as we've got the capacity to have people on as observers, then that's fine.
There's one more issue that is that should be noted. There is this expert group by ICANN staff. I'm still finding out what their focus will be. Hopefully within the next week or so, I will have an overview of their activities, and I will forward it to the council and to the working group so they know to avoid, I'll put it this way, to avoid overlap of activities.
Okay. Anyone got any questions or comments on that?
Yes. Chris,
yep.
I'm trying to hear.
Yes.
Yeah, for the membership, right, in accordance to the charter, the chair of the CCNSO will also be the, or someone that they appoint will be the ex-official member of the working group. So does this mean that we only have left with four seats?
No. No. It's five plus the chair's ex-officio.
Okay. This is something that we need to clarify, because from what I noticed from the GNSO side, the five members includes the chair and the vice chair as, and then three other members, making our chair five.
Yeah,
let us sort this out in order to make this work.
It's also slightly complicated. It's also slightly complicated because at the moment, of course, the GNSO has no clue who their chair is going to be, and they're going to be two vice chairs for the two halves of the GNSO and one chair. So it's all a bit confusing from that point of view. So actually, you know, in order to try and get some work done, it would probably be sensible if they just chose five people and have the whoever the chair is as ex officio in the same way that we do. But we'll talk to them about that. Thanks for raising that. Anything else? Okay. Geographic Regions Working Group, Bart, is there anything to report on that?
The comments period has closed from this board working group. There was one comment, but that was more into substance. The working group is picking up its activities right now and hopes to produce a paper by the sole meeting, but that's going to be difficult. But at least, the first phase is closed and we're moving into the second phase now.
Thanks, Bart. And finally, the ad hoc working group for emergency response plan.
Yeah, the working group itself, say the core or not the core members, the initial members have been have had a few conference calls, and they're working on a work plan, etc. We had to call for volunteers. If you, and I think there is no limit to this working group regarding the volunteers, so in order to get it started and to get the work plan presented by Saul, I suggest that the members or the volunteers listed are, will be nominated and appointed by the council.
Who are they?
It's Fahd from Jordan, Stefan Dierig from .as, Keith Dracek, Luis Diego Espinoza from .cr, Andre Ben Fuller from Namibia, Otmar Lendl, Cert and .at, Janata Marashinga, the Cert from .lk, Yoshihiro Orange Morazos, yeah, I'm sorry for the name, I can't, yeah, my glasses are not working properly, from Japan, Nigel Jose Romero from Peru, Hugo Salgora from .cl, I think it is.
Obrigado.
Yeah. Katrina Sataka from .lv, Iswari Sharma from .np, and Jörg Schweiger from DNIC.
And that note has
and
been
I think
out.
Rudy Vansmith has asked if he can be a member of that group as well.
Yeah. Okay. And that note's gone out to the list, hasn't it?
Yes. This is based on the call for volunteers.
Okay.
And this is just to make sure this is a CCTLD working group. So I don't know if Rudy as a liaison to the council from the ALEC, if you want to appoint him, or we take that offline.
What does the charter say?
It is for CCTLD members, and I can start.
Well, I don't see there's any problem with having him on as an observer, unless anybody objects to that.
Yeah.
Okay, can we deal with this now? Is everybody happy if we just pass a resolution appointing all of those somewhat very impressive list of volunteers to the that working group? Is that a formal resolution, Gabby?
Yeah, could someone propose to come second it?
Our Hero moves.
Thank you, Hero. Anyone seconding? Don't all rush at once.
I'll second it, Byron.
Thank you, Byron. Does anybody object? Okay, that's passed. And if Gabby, you could, or Bart, you can arrange to send out a note and get things rolling. That would be fantastic. Thank you. That brings us to the last item, apart from any other business, which is the liaison updates. We have in advance a liaison update from Ron. Was there anything you wanted to add to that, Ron? Are you on the call?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Ron, we can hear you.
Okay. I have a report. That's really just support material that I sent.
Yes.
So that I don't have to read stuff off. You got it late, I'm afraid. There was a glitch with an ICANN server somewhere, and I got it bounced back, but eventually you received it. First of all, most of the traffic over the last 3 weeks has been to do with organizing meetings in Seoul. The items that I've referred to there are basically that there's a concern about transparency in reference to what was referred to as a secret ICANN registrar meeting in Toronto. Evan Leibowitz had been asked by ICANN to suggest hotels for the venue, but he wasn't invited, and he could find no public notification for this meeting, and he suggested that there could have been financial savings for ICANN if, for example, a regional RALO meeting could be held concurrently at the same location. Patrick Van Dwally from EU RALO, has also noted that AFNIC CEO Matthew Weil argued with ICANN staff and registrars that these meetings should be open because the very customers of the registrars should be allowed to know what was going on. They should not be secret. And he sent some links, examples of why the meeting should be open, at least to at-large representatives. He also added a link to another person, Richard Sexton, which you got a reference to there, who attempted to join the meeting in Toronto and was physically removed by security. These letters got to ICANN, of course, and Craig Schwartz, the chief GTLD registry liaison at ICANN, responded to Evan's letter, explaining that the meeting was for a targeted audience only, but that it was not meant to be secret. That's worth reading, that letter. In fact, all of them, I think, are worth reading, because it makes a point about where meetings should be made available or open to the public or representatives of the public invited. And Alex sees themselves as representing the public. And the reason I mention registrars and that they're mentioning registrars is because CCTLDs are often regarded by users as registrars, as many of them are, in fact. So that material, I think, is worth looking at. The at-large participated in a GNSO decision to charge a charter drafting team with creating registrants' rights documents. Alan Greenberg is concerned that any registrants' rights documents should also apply to CCTLDs.
Yeah,
right. That's letter is reference number
five. That was just me laughing. Well, I'm sorry.
Evan Leibowitz responded, hang on.
Sorry, Leslie, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say I didn't laugh exactly. I was quite concerned at seeing that. And hopefully at best it represents a lack of understanding about some of the protections, etc., that are in CCs. But at worst, I think it looked to me as another example as to the general sort of CCs and Gs should all have the same rules drive, which is of concern.
Yes, I agree. I mean,
it is. And if you look at the reference six, you'll find that there was a response that where accredited registrars offer CCTLDs, that they might apply a single standard of registrant's rights as a registrar, but that each CCTLD sets its own rules, and that the rules, and it sets the rules that its registrars must follow, which may include whether the registrars must be ICANN accredited, for example.
Mm. Or it may even set higher requirements.
Yeah. The response to that was that at large could come up with a set of standards for TLDs and offer them to CCTLDs as a sample of what registrants think is good, or a standard that will own, for example, a CCTLD, an at-large seal of approval. But he also noted that he's pretty sure that there are a whole bunch of CCTLDs that would exceed those general standards right from the start. So I found that to be an interesting exchange. I previously spoke of the ALAC input on the GTLD front and the draft application guidebook. ALAC received a response from Rob Beckstrom, the president and CEO of ICANN, addressed to At Large Worldwide, incidentally, and prefaced, Dear Sir or Madam. And I've distributed that letter as a reference document because I think it's worth reading.
Thank you, Ron.
That really is it. I think everything else you've got is there. Bart said he's getting back to me later today on the request by Adam Peake to join or be an observer on the CCNSO working group to advise on PDB for delegation, re-delegation, etc.
Thanks, Ron. Any questions or comments for Ron? Okay. That brings us to Han Xuan's report.
Yep. Hi. Firstly, apologies for not sending the written update to the council, as when the email came, it was actually the birth of my daughter, so I was in the hospital for the past week and did not manage to get my email.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Right, so I'll just do a verbal update now and I'll send in the written later.
Thank
okay,
you.
As mentioned earlier, the GNSO has already confirmed the five members for the joint IDN working group. So other than the chair and the vice chair, there will be members from the registry, NOMCOM and registrar. Okay. And there are also ICANN staff that is committed to supporting the group. Now, for the ICANN meeting in Seoul, there will be a bicameral council that will be suited for the council meeting on the Wednesday, 28th of October, because they would like to maximize the continuity when they transition from the old council to the new council as a result of the restructuring, and they want to have let the stakeholder groups have in a way let them have more flexibility to elect their council representatives that best meet their needs. So in the ICANN meeting in Seoul, you'll most likely see the new council and the old council seated side by side, and then when the various stakeholder groups have sorted out the council, and then you will have the old council retiring, and then the new council will take over entirely. Okay. And the restructure of the GNSO has now been has not taken effect. So the four stakeholder groups structure are now in effect, and they will be selecting the new council members. And so, if you like, you're interested in the new stakeholder new stakeholder group charters, they are actually in the board's July meeting report. So you can go and take a look. And by the end of this month, we should see names of the GNSO council representatives being submitted to the secretariat by the end of the month. And that's about all I have for the report.
Thank you very much. Any questions? It's going to be a very interesting time for the GNSO in Seoul, I think.
Yes, it's probably the first time you're going to see such an arrangement.
Yeah. Gabby, do we have a joint meeting on the agenda yet?
Yes, on Monday.
On Monday. And that's a joint meeting with both houses, is it?
Yes, it's as usual, a GNSO, CCNSO lunch.
Okay, excellent. Do we have any other business to discuss at this council meeting?
I can just say one thing. The DNSX survey closed last Monday, and we had in total 65 replies, so it's a really good result, and I really want to thank all of the councillors, because I think I managed to pester everyone to enough to send the replies. So thank you so much. And I'll try to get out the general results as soon as possible.
Thanks, Gabby. Anything else? Okay, well, in that case, we'll close the call. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and we'll talk again in a few weeks' time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.